Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
Amen. Hey, good morning. How's everyone doing? All right. Hey, if you're excited to be at church and you can hear me okay, honk your horn. There we go. All right. good deal. That last song that James did, that was a newer song for us, but I love that. You get this picture. We serve a God who turns graves into gardens and takes the messy of our lives and turns it, redeems it, and turns it into something special. And really, that kind of goes along with the theme of where we've been the last few weeks in our series, Stand. And we see a story from the book of Daniel. The whole book of Daniel is this story about a God who takes kind of the worst case scenario and turns it into something good, redeems it for his good. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, as we continue through the series. And a couple weeks ago, we looked at what does it mean to stand out? What does it mean to make choices that help us to stand out for the sake of the gospel? We saw this in the story in Daniel chapter 1, where the Israelites are taken into exile. And a part of that being taken into exile, the king then, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king then, he takes the brightest and the smartest from Israel. And a part of that was Daniel. And Daniel had some friends that we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so we saw these friends who were taken into exile and given prominence within the Babylonian government. But they wanted to assimilate them. And a part of that was making them eat from the king's table. But that went against the dietary laws that they understood from God. And so they had to stand out. They stood out because they said, hey, we can't eat that. And if you'll give us a chance, if you'll let us adhere to our diet, I guarantee that we'll be stronger and healthier than our contemporaries. And so for that reason, they stood out. And last week, we looked at what does it mean to stand up? What does it mean to stand up for what is right? When we have friends who are perhaps making bad decisions, what does it mean to be able to confront them and to stand up for what is right, and to also do that in the correct manner? You know, it's not standing up doesn't mean you get on Facebook and you're just this mighty keyboard warrior that's just blasting everybody on Facebook. No, there's right ways, there's prayerful ways in which God calls us to stand up for what is right. And so This morning we're looking in this story from Daniel 6, and we're going to look at what does it mean to stand strong. And we come to this story that we're very familiar with. I bet most of us can probably remember the Sunday school teacher that taught us at least two of the biblical stories that we're most familiar with. You probably remember the teacher who taught you about Noah's Ark. And the teacher who taught you about our story today. Even if you're not really familiar to the church thing, even if you're just new to this whole church thing, you're probably aware that there's some story about a guy who gets thrown into a lion's den and is delivered and survives. So I'm not sure when the last time you heard a sermon from Daniel 6 and about Daniel and the lions. And I'll be honest with you, as familiar of a story as it is, I think this is probably the first time that I'm actually preaching a Sunday morning message from Daniel 6. And I'm hoping that today we're going to look at it from a little bit different perspective. We're going to look at it from a different perspective. Because think about it. The whole book of Daniel, it goes along so well with our life today. The whole book of Daniel is about a culture that wants to assimilate us, a culture that says, hey, this is how you should do things. And I know that we We love the country that we live in. We live in the United States of America, and we love it. And, I mean, yesterday we spent time with family, and we did the fireworks. And, man, we're so, so thankful for our freedom. We're thankful for those who have sacrificed. And so, yes, we're thankful for the USA. We're thankful that we live here. But we have to remember that the United States of America is not our first citizenship. Our first citizenship is the kingdom of God. And so for that reason, there are going to be times when the values of the United States of America, the values of our culture, is going to be opposite of the values of the kingdom of God. And I would argue that it's going to be counter more than you probably want it to, and more than you think it really is. When you really look at it, sometimes we've fallen into this false sense of security that, oh, well, I live in America, so, you know, I'm Christian by default. No. That's not how that works. And so Daniel was in a similar situation. He was in a land with a people that was not his own. He had been welcomed into this Babylonian government, and he had been given prominence. But even in that position, he's faced with constant decisions of what it is to stand out for God and to stand up. And today we're going to see what it is to stand strong. And so let's look kind of behind the text. Let's look at a little backstory here. Because I think when we think about Daniel and the lion's den, we get this Sunday school picture of a couple cute little cuddly looking lions and you know, young Daniel there in the den, and it's all kind of, you know, kind of cute and quaint. But we got to remember a couple of things here. So in Daniel 6, Daniel was probably about 80 years old. So every Sunday, Daniel has increased in age by about 20 to 40 years. A couple weeks ago, we saw Daniel and his friends. They were about 12, 14, 15 years old. Last week, he would have been about in his mid-40s. This week, we see him as around a 70 or 80-year-old man who has, at this point, worked for three different kings, worked for three different administrations. Now, if that doesn't tell you the wisdom of Daniel, if nothing else tells you about the wisdom of Daniel, that should. That here's a man who's been able to work for multiple generations. He worked with Nebuchadnezzar. He worked with Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar. And we see that story in Daniel chapter 5. In fact, that was the story, if you remember. That's a story where there's the hand of God that comes and writes on the wall, and Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, is now king, and he says, Daniel, what does this mean? And Daniel says, you're not going to like it. It means that your kingdom is numbered, that your days are coming to a close. And that very night, Daniel 5 says, Darius shows up, the Persians and the Medes show up, they kill Belshazzar, and they take over. And so now Daniel finds himself working for a third administration, a third king. Again, that shows his wisdom. I mean, if you know anything about politics, you know that anytime there's a new sheriff in town, quote unquote, something new in town, they like to clean house, let it bring their own people in. But Daniel has so much wisdom. God has placed him and used him in such a unique way that he is able to withstand all of the change. And so Daniel, he's this high administrator. And so look at verses 1 through 3. Look at Daniel 6, verses 1 through 3. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps, to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the other administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. History tells us that Darius is this administrative genius. He comes in very quickly and he begins to change everything around. He puts these satraps in charge, and they're in charge of keeping peace in the kingdom, in the small little areas of the kingdom. They're charged with making sure the books are balanced and making sure everything goes as planned. And then you have these administrators that are over them. And Scripture says that Daniel is going to be over the whole kingdom. And so as we unpack the rest of this narrative, I believe there's a few truths that for us to remember in order to stand strong. And the first one is this. When God calls you out, the enemy will try to pull you down. This can come in many forms. This can come, maybe you've been at a job where you've gotten a promotion. You're doing well. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And you get a promotion, and all the folks that maybe you got hired with, you know, they go, there's so-and-so. You know, I can't believe they're joining the management. I can't believe that, you know, and you begin to kind of experience a little negativity because, honestly, you're just doing what you were told to do. Unfortunately, we even see this happen in the church. You see new believers come in faith, and they get all excited about ministry. They get all excited about what God wants to do in their midst, what God wants to do in our community. And some of us old timers sit back and say, well, we tried that 10 years ago. That's cute that you're all excited there, so-and-so. That's cute that you want to do that ministry, but we tried that 10 years ago. It didn't work. And so, unfortunately, this even happens in the church. And it happens to Daniel. Look at verses 4 through 5. So we know that Daniel is valued. Daniel is going to be, he's going to get a promotion. And so look at verses 4 through 5. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. You read that? We'll never find anything against Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. Daniel had this reputation. Daniel was consistent. They knew who Daniel was. They knew that if they were going to try to entrap him, it had to do with something about the law of his God. They try to find dirt on Daniel. In fact, I'm reminded of who grew up on VeggieTales. I think most of them are inside. But there's maybe some of you out here that grew up on VeggieTales. And so you in your mind, there's probably that song. Oh, no, what we're going to do? The king likes Daniel more than me and you. Oh, no, what you going to... Stephen, are you singing in there? Because I know you know it. You know, but remember that song? Our VeggieTales folks out there? And so that's kind of what you get. Thank you. So they finally come up with a plan. They finally come up with this plan, and they, all right, let's go to the king, and they're going to butter up the king, and they say, King Darius, majesty, may your name live forever. We should make a rule, Darius, that no one should pray to any other man or any other god except you. And so they butter him up, and they have this great plan. And of course, Darius says, oh, well, you know, okay. That sounds good. And this is very interesting because this is not so much about trying to make Darius a deity. Because if you look historically, if you look at the Persians and the Medes and the Persians, their kings, they were not interested in being deity themselves, but they did find value in being the only ones who could access the deities. And so in this instance, it was a move of saying, hey, if someone's going to pray, King, they need to pray to you because you have the only access to the gods. And so this decree is in place. And so the question is, how is Daniel going to respond? Daniel, who prays three times a day. Daniel, who has a reputation of being faithful to his God. How is Daniel going to respond? Is he going to stop praying? Is he going to pray silently? Or is he going to just keep on praying and risk death? You know what I think? I think Daniel realized that standing strong begins with kneeling in prayer. Standing strong begins with kneeling in prayer. Look at verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. You know, far too often when we have a problem in our lives and we experience some sort of hardship, when we experience some sort of setback, our first response is always panic. But our first response should be on our knees in prayer. Someone this week, I think it was Stephanie, shared a cute little video of a country song about, have you talked to God today? You know, you've talked to the banker, you've talked to the doctor, you've talked to all these people, but have you talked to God this week? And sometimes I think we forget about that. We forget that our first line of defense is on our knees in prayer. Our first line of defense is this ongoing, consistent relationship with Jesus Christ, in which we are in prayer, which we are reading the Word, which we are serving, which we are making ourselves available to be shaped by Him. Philippians 4:6 reminds us, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And so that's what Daniel does. But here's the thing. The chickens are loving my preaching. I like it. I got the amens from the chickens over there. I'm loving it. See? Don't let the chickens out amen you now, okay? So come on. But what does Daniel do? So he's going to pray. He's going to keep on doing what he's doing. But does he make a big thing about it? No, he doesn't say, hey, look at me. Look at me. I know what the law is, but I'm going to pray anyway. I'm going to put it on my Facebook page. Man, look at me. I'm so spiritual. Let me Snapchat this real quick so everybody can see that I'm in the Word. Let me put this on my Instagram story. No, Daniel doesn't do that. He just keeps on doing what Daniel has always done. You see, our spiritual lives, it's not just something that we parade around. And hear me. There's nothing wrong with sharing scripture on social media. There's nothing wrong with using social media to encourage people. I'm not saying that at all. But please know that our first line of defense is a genuine, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ that is consistent with prayer, fasting, and scripture. You see, because of his consistent prayer life, because of always being consistent, he was able to stand strong. You see, I'm convinced that if for 80 years of life, if Daniel would have just kind of been, you know, ho-hum about his spiritual life, his devotional life, if he'd have just, you know, just shared things on Facebook or social media just every now and then, or just did those things just for show, I would argue that he would not have been ready to stand strong in this situation. But because he had a firm foundation, he was prepared to stand strong. I believe that Daniel stood strong before others because he knelt before God. Daniel stood strong before others because he knelt before God. And so we know how the story ends. We know that Daniel, he's thrown into the lion's den. And we know that King Darius, who loved Daniel, we know that he ached and he groaned in agony all night long. He didn't eat anything. He didn't bring any entertainment into his court because all he could think about was Daniel in that lion's den. And even Darius prayed. He even prayed, whatever God did, may Daniel's God rescue and save him. And so the next morning, Darius goes running to, he goes running to the lion's den. And he shouts, Daniel, did your God rescue you? And look at Daniel's response, verses 22 and 23. Daniel says, my God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of lions. Now that's a powerful scripture right there. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what has brought you to this point right now, but you need to hear this. When Daniel says, God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed. He gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. We have to stand strong. We have to stand strong in this culture. We have to stand strong in this world. We have to stand strong even when it's uncomfortable. We have to stand strong even when it goes against maybe our politics. We have to stand strong even when we realize that our favorite talk news talk station may be saying something a little bit different than what we know Scripture says. We have to stand strong because faithful people reveal a faithful God. Faithful people reveal a faithful God. God has called us to be a witness. God has called us to be salt and light to the world. And when we are a faithful people, the world around us continues and will see that we serve a faithful God. You see, standing strong isn't just about getting us through a situation. Standing strong isn't about just getting us through our current crisis. Standing strong is a life calling. It's a lifelong calling that we are called to so that the world around us can see the character of God in us. You ever think about that? You ever think about your life is to be an example of who God is. Our marriages are to be an example of who God is. When people look at our marriages, they should see faithful love. They should see what faithful devotion looks like. They should be able to look at our marriages and say, that must be what God is. That faithful, loving, patient. So as we begin to wrap it up, may we be reminded today that no matter what has you feeling uncertain, no matter what you've faced in the last few weeks, maybe you've experienced loss, maybe you're experiencing a situation where you have to make a tough decision that's going to be counter to what those around you may say. Can I just remind you to stand strong? And can I remind you that we serve a faithful God who has been faithful all throughout the years, and He will continue to be faithful moving forward. Our God will He'll continue to do it again and again and again. And maybe you've been in situations where maybe you feel like, man, I feel like I just can't go anymore. Would you stand strong? Stand strong. Begin on your knees in prayer. And allow the world to see a faithful God through your own faithfulness. Because the God who's done it in the past is the God who's going to do it now, and the God who's going to do it again when we face that next mountain. Let's continue in worship. Let's be reminded of this great truth.